Hi, it's Patrick Hutzel from intensivecarehotline.com, where we instantly improve the lives for families of critically ill patients in intensive care so that you can make informed decisions, have peace of mind, real power, real control, and so that you can influence decision making fast, even if you're not a doctor or a nurse in intensive care. This is another episode of Your Questions Answered, and in last week's episode, I answered another question from one of our readers, and the question last week was how to provide better intensive care for your loved one. You can check out last week's questions by clicking on the link below this video. In today's episode of Your Questions Answered, I want to answer a question from one of my clients, Kendra, as part of my one-on-one consulting and advocacy service. Kendra's mom had a stroke and has been on a ventilator for 12 days in ICU. The ICU team wants to do a tracheostomy on her mom, and she's asking what to do. So Kendra asks, my mom had a stroke and is ventilated for 12 days in ICU. The ICU team wants to do a tracheostomy. What do I need to do? Kendra writes, hi Patrick, my mom has been in ICU for 12 days. She had a stroke and she's been on a ventilator with a breathing tube. They're trying to wean her off the ventilator. One day she's off it for 4 hours and the next day she's off it for 6 hours, but she can't go above 6 hours a day. We're asking the doctors, how did she do? They say everything looks good. The next day we speak with the doctors and the doctors say that she will need a tracheostomy. She was put out on the ventilator initially to suck out mucus on her chest. She came to ICU initially with a stroke. I noticed her coughing, so I'm thinking if she's coughing, wouldn't she cough out the mucus? She can't because of the tube. I find this very frustrating on top of that. My understanding is that her blood pressure is very low and she's getting medications for that. I also believe they're still sedating her at times, even though she seems to be asleep most of the time. Can you please advise whether a tracheostomy is the right thing to do or not? From Kendra. So here's my answer. Hi Kendra, thank you so much for writing in and for being a client. You may have heard me saying this before, Kendra, but the biggest challenge for families in intensive care is that you simply don't know what you don't know. I can see you've done some of your research, but I can also see there are a lot of gaps in your knowledge, and I can see that you don't know what to look for and you don't know what questions you really need to ask when someone is in intensive care, critically ill on a ventilator with a breathing tube like your mother is. There are dozens, and I repeat that, there are dozens of things happening simultaneously when someone is critically ill in intensive care. And unless you have a very good understanding of what those dozens of things are that are happening simultaneously, you really have no idea what's really going on. Intensive care is such a highly specialized area, and unless you can break down the things that are happening into detail, you will never really understand of what's going on a day-by-day basis. It's simply not good enough for me to say your mother is off the ventilator one day for 4 hours and the next day for 6 hours. We need to know what medications is she on, for example, right? And if you're telling me she's still getting sedation, even though she's asleep most of the time, she needs to come off that sedation. You know, when someone is having a stroke like your mother does, there's a very good chance that your mother may need a tracheostomy, just simply with a stroke, patients often are unable to swallow. Therefore, they're at risk of aspiration, and they're at risk of an aspiration pneumonia because of it. So even though your mother might be able to come off the ventilator, eventually she may not be able to swallow properly, and she may need, therefore, airway protection with a tracheostomy. If your mom was put on a ventilator initially to suck out the mucus, she had a bronchoscopy, and that is certainly often very effective, but it may not be enough to get someone off the ventilator. You notice that she's coughing and you think she can't cough out the mucus because she's got a breathing tube. That's not entirely accurate. Patients with a breathing tube can cough. If they're strong enough to bring up mucus, they can. But in your mother's situation, the stroke may inhibit some of the coughing. And also with the coughing, it's not the tube that's stopping her. It's the sedation that's stopping her. The sedation would stop her from coughing. She may also be on opiates such as morphine or fentanyl, and they are very strong painkillers, and the main side effect of morphine, fentanyl or any other opiates is simply respiratory depression, and that's also inhibiting the cough. So again, it's not so much the breathing tube that's stopping her from coughing, it's more like other issues such as the sedation and the induced coma. So where to go from here? Your mother needs to be brought out of the induced coma. Your mother needs to have all sedation stopped. She needs to be mobilized. She needs to get in a chair. She needs to have physical therapy or physiotherapy. And then hopefully they can strengthen her breathing muscles. Hopefully she can then stay off the ventilator for more than 4 or 6 hours. And if she can increase the time off the ventilator, she may be able to avoid the tracheostomy. But again, just because she may be able to come off the ventilator, there's still the swallowing issue potentially, especially after a stroke. So how can you assess that? You can assess that with speech therapy, you know. Speech therapy assessment needs to be made, and they can also do a swallowing test. So those would be some of the steps to find out whether the tracheostomy can be avoided or not. Now, those are the next steps in the ideal scenario. If she can avoid the tracheostomy, have the breathing tube removed, and then move on to a hospital ward. Or if she's going to have a tracheostomy, the time in ICU is probably going to be prolonged. And also, even if she can come off the ventilator and she can go to a hospital ward, there may be issues with nursing skills. So what do I mean by that? Not every nurse on a hospital ward can look after a tracheostomy, because simply that's a specialist skill in ICU, or for ICU nurses in particular. So it's therefore very, very important that the assessment whether your mum needs a tracheostomy or not is accurate. And I can't stress enough that your mother needs to be mobilized. So she needs to have good nursing care. She needs to get regular washes every day, and she needs to get in a chair, get physical therapy, and so forth. So that's my advice for today. I hope that helps, Kendra. Let me know if you have any other questions, and we go from there. So, how can you become the best advocate for your critically ill loved one? How can you make informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power, and influence quickly whilst your loved one is critically ill in intensive care? You will get to that all-important feeling of making informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power, and influence when you download your free instant impact report now by entering your email below. In your free instant impact report, you will learn quickly how to make informed decisions, get peace of mind, real power, and real control, and how you can influence decision making fast whilst your loved one is critically ill in intensive care. Your free instant impact report gives you in-depth insight that you must know whilst your loved one is critically ill or is even dying in intensive care. Sign up and download your free instant impact report now by entering your email below. In your free instant impact report, you will learn how to speak the secret intensive care language so that the doctors and the nurses know straight away that you are an insider and that you know and understand what's really happening in intensive care. In your free report, you will also discover how to ask the doctors and the nurses the right questions, discover the many competing interests in intensive care, and how your critically ill loved one's treatment may depend on those competing interests. How to eliminate fear, frustration, stress, struggle, and vulnerability even if your loved one is dying. You will get 5 mind-blowing tips and strategies helping you to get on the right path to making informed decisions, get peace of mind, control, power, and influence in your situation. You will get real-world examples that you can easily adapt to your and your critically ill loved one's situation. How to stop being intimidated by the intensive care team and how you will be seen as equals. You will get crucial behind-the-scenes insight so that you know and understand what's really happening in intensive care and how you need to manage doctors and nurses in intensive care, and it's not what you think. Thank you for tuning into this week's Your Questions Answered episode, and I'll see you again next week in another update. Make sure you also check out our blog section for more tips and strategies, or simply send me an email to support@intensivecarehotline.com with your questions. Also, Have a look at our membership site, intensivecaresupport.org, for families of critically ill patients in intensive care. You can also call me. Find phone numbers on the top of our website or below this video. Also, have a look at our ebook section, and you can also get one-on-one consulting and advocacy with me over the phone, via Skype, via Zoom, and via email by clicking on the relevant tabs on the top of the website. This is Patrick Hutzel from intensivecarehotline.com, and I'll talk to you in a few days.